We ready, Jim? Is it going? Okay, well, good. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Okay, what I'm going to talk about today is the choices we make in life, because life is really all about choices. Every day we all make hundreds of choices, maybe even thousands of choices. Everything we do and think is related to choices we have made, are making, or will make. Sometimes these choices may seem inconsequential. Sometimes they seem like that, but they could be really important or major decisions and choices. We don't always know, and you know, we have a tendency as people to be short-sighted. You know, government is incredibly short-sighted. You know, this Google Expressway. Sometimes we don't realize what seems to be an unimportant decision or choice could be a great choice or an incredibly important choice. And it can be negative or positive. So let's go to Ephesians chapter 1. And verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places," or in the heavenlies, or the heavenly realm in Christ, "according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love," goes in the next verse. Okay, so God made a choice, didn't he? He chose before the foundation or the overthrow of the world that we could believe and be his sons and daughters. He blessed us with all spiritual blessings. When did he decide to do that? You know, he made a choice to do that. When did he decide to give Holy Spirit and eternal life? Well, somewhere back, who knows when, that he sanctified us and made us holy. He made that choice to do that. He didn't have to do those things, did he? Let's go to Genesis. Genesis chapter 3. And verse 15, it says, "I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." God made that decision. You know, he said that, he declared it, but it involved the choice that he made, right? Do you think that anybody understood or realized the implications of that choice? You know, how about Adam and Eve? Did they understand the implications of their choice? You know, they got talked into doing something and they didn't stop and ask God. They didn't say, "Hey, what should we do, God?" They just did it. They went by sense knowledge and they made a choice, and that choice had ramifications that still exist today, right? But it's all from a choice somebody made. Seemingly, not that big a deal at the time, maybe. To them, anyway. Looking back, it was catastrophic. We don't know exactly when God made all the choices that he did to choose us and to give us what he gave us. But he did. And he was very long-sighted and had a plan for everything. Let's go to Joshua chapter 24. Deuteronomy, Joshua 24. So God, when he made Adam and Eve, he made man to have choices, didn't he? He made man to have free will, to choose what he wanted to choose. And in the beginning, everything they chose would be good, except for the one thing that they did, which was bad. It's kind of amazing when you think about the odds. Everything that they could have chosen to do and would do would have been good except for the one thing which they got talked into doing. Mm-hmm. What are the odds? How ridiculous. Joshua 24. So God chose, Abraham believed God chose him, chose to raise up a family that would be his people. They were his, what? Chosen people, right? Israel was his chosen people because of Abraham and his believing in Isaac and Jacob. And then he chose to deliver them out of bondage and bring them into the promised land. And so in Joshua 24, it's near the end of Joshua's life. And verse 14, it says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord." That's Joshua talking to the children of Israel because he knows he's going to die soon. So fear the Lord, have great respect and awe for God, Jehovah, and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. You know, so even though they had been taken care of, you know, God blessed Israel, bringing them into Egypt, and when they were there initially, they really got blessed, didn't they? And when they were in bondage, God protected them and watched over them. And they continued to grow in numbers. And then God sent Moses and he brought them across the desert. But it says here, put away the gods that your fathers worshiped, the other side of the flood, which means where Abraham came from, the other side of the river in Ur. And I guess, you know, some of the people who came with Abraham brought their gods with them. And then, of course, what was it, Isaac's or Jacob's wife, she brought a god with them. And so they had some gods with them in Egypt after all those years. And so then he says here, okay, now's the time to put away all those other gods. Let's get serious about this whole thing. And serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, Jehovah, choose you this day whom you will serve. Wow. You know, let's make a choice here. Who are you going to serve? You know, because we're born again doesn't mean that we choose to serve God, does it? You know, we can serve lots of things. It doesn't mean we're serving God. We could be serving our own bellies. We could be serving our lust. We could be serving our desire for pleasure or power or money or whatever, you know. But we always have the choice of serving God. So he says, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Joshua said, as for me and my house, my family, we're going to serve Jehovah, the Lord, God. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God, he it is that brought us up and our fathers out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, and which did those great signs in our sights and preserved us in all the ways wherein we went and among all the people through whom we passed, and so on and so forth. So these people made a choice at that particular time, didn't they? That they would serve the Lord God. And that generation, you know, Joshua and Caleb were the oldest guys in Israel at the time. They were 40 years older, or, you know, a lot older than everybody else. The other generation had died off. And he brought in the younger generation. And that generation did serve God for their whole generation until their kids grew up. And, you know, as kids do, they rebel, and that's what happened. And so they didn't serve God. But God gave Israel a choice, didn't he? He didn't say, you have to serve me. He didn't say, this is it, or else. He gave them a choice. Why does God do that? Because he's a good God. He's a loving God. He's not a dictator. You know, it's kind of interesting, isn't it? He's not a dictator. He doesn't say, you have to do this and you have to do it my way. He just says, look, there's two ways to do things. My way, the best way, and your way, which is disaster. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. Back a little bit. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19. And this is Moses right at the end of his life before the children of Israel are going to go in to the promised land with Joshua. So this is the whole thing before. And he says in verse 19, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you. That means, that's an idiom or a figure of speech. It means God is witnessing what you're going to say. Because that's what he's saying. Heaven and earth to record, to witness. And heaven and earth is what? God. It's referring to God. I call God to witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Now, that sounds like a ridiculous choice. You know, it sounds like it's a no-brainer, right? Except what did Israel do sometimes? They chose cursing and death. Why would you choose cursing and death? Well, because it looks good. It feels good. You know, the old saying from the 60s and 70s, well, if it feels good, do it. That's a terrible idea. That is a terrible idea. If it feels good, do it. How idiotic. Oh, well. So he says, therefore, choose life that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life and length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. You know, and if you go back in chapters 28 and 29 and 30, he goes through the blessings and the cursings. You know, and if they did the things that God told them to do, they get these all these blessings, and if they didn't, they would get the cursings, which would always end up in death. I think a couple of months ago or a while back, we looked at, what was it? Can't remember where it is now, where God says, I will take no pleasure in death. Mm-hmm. Chapter 18 of something. Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel. Ezekiel 18:32. God says, I take no pleasure in death. And he's talking to Israel again about, you know, I'm life and sin is death. So what do you choose? Because he doesn't take pleasure in death. He doesn't go around, oh, yeah, I can't wait till I can kill this guy. You know, that's not God. And he gave him a choice. Okay, let's go to John chapter 6. Sometimes we make decisions or we're faced with decisions that we think are meaningless or unimportant or inconsequential, but that's not always true. You know, it's just, and sometimes God tells us stuff and you think, oh, that's not important. And sometimes it's real important. John 6, verse 47. It's a very interesting section of scripture here. Jesus Christ is speaking, and he says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am that bread of life. Okay, you need bread to live, right? You need food. You need a couple of things to exist. You need air, you need water, and you need food. So bread is used euphemistically, I guess, or metaphorically. Metaphorically, I guess, is a metaphor. Jesus Christ said, I am the bread of life. I am the food of life. I'm what you need to live. And he talks, and it's in the respect of everlasting life here. That's the context. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. They ate, God kept them alive for 40 years, right? With manna. Every day the manna was there. They picked it up and they ate it and they were filled to the full. So much so that there was not one feeble knee among them, right? You know, they were healthy. They were strong. But they died. Eventually they died. They got old. They died. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven that a man may eat thereof and not die. Speaking of what? eternal life. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? What is he, cannibal? What's he talking about? He's nuts. That's what they were thinking. Then Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, ye have no life in you. Now he's talking about vampires. Wow, this is nuts. Whosoever eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. So these guys are listening to this, and they're going, this guy is out of his mind. He's insane. Let's go down to verse 59. These things said he in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. I bet that was a sermon they talked about for months and years to follow. Many, therefore, of his disciples, when they had heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? Okay, who's saying this? His disciples, people that had been following him, adhering to his teachings, had been, you know, on the bandwagon. So that's what he said. He said, many of his disciples, they had heard this. They said, this is a hard saying. Who can hear it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, doth this offend you? You know, are you offended at this? Does this hurt your feelings? You know, you don't like this? But there are some of you that believe not. Oh, well, let's see. Go back. Verse 63. Oh, offend you. Verse 60. What if ye see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not and who should betray him. And he said, therefore I said unto you that no man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. They made a decision, didn't they? They made a choice. They said, this guy's crazy. I'm done with this. They didn't take the time to find out, to understand, to learn what he was talking about. You know, so they made a choice. Seemingly not a big deal, right? Oh, I finally got my mind back. This guy mesmerized me, and now I got my right mind back. I'm not going with him anymore. I'm okay. I can go back to work. That's a pretty bad choice. But they didn't see it. Huh. Where'd I leave off? Oh, yeah, so 66? Okay, verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12, will you also go away? He said to the 12, you know, Peter, James, John, Philip, you know, Thomas, all those guys. He said unto them, are you going to go too? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Peter was pretty smart in this case, wasn't he? He said, wow, you have the words of eternal life. I don't really understand all this, but you got the words to eternal life. I'm not going anywhere. And we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's pretty great. You know, we believe and are sure. You know, that should be in our mind all the time. We are sure. We believe and we are sure that Christ was the one. We're Christians. That's pretty simple, isn't it? And so that should affect everything we think and say and do and every choice we make. That we believe and are sure that Christ was the Son of God. That he is the guy. He was the chosen one. He was the one, the seed of the woman, the seed of Abraham, the promised Messiah. So that's great. Life is always about choices we make. You know, it's important what we choose and what we think. Do we choose God's word or what others tell us to think? Do we choose what the word says or what the world says? Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 4. And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. The word beguile is the word seduce. Yeah, you know what seduce means, right? You talk somebody into something. You know, you entice them. You beguile them. You trick them. That's what the devil did to Eve, right? He didn't just say, you have to believe this or I'll kill you. Because he couldn't. He didn't have that power or that authority. So he had to do what? He had to seduce her. He had to beguile her. He had to trick her. He had to entice her and lead her on. So it says, and this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit. You know, how does the world sell stuff to you? They beguile you with enticing words. Now, the words may come in the form also of pictures. You know, one of the biggest, you know, it's in some ways it's very true, in other ways it's a lie. But, you know, Confucius says a picture is worth 1,000 words, you know. And that can be true. However, they may not be true words or honest words, because you can doctor a picture, can't you? You know, and so did you ever see a picture of a car in a commercial on TV and then see it in person and say, it doesn't look at all like what it looked in the picture? Because they make them look longer and sleeker and shinier and faster and more comfortable than what they maybe really are. Because that's what they do, right? Do your teeth shine and glow like they do in the commercials for toothpaste? You know, if I use that toothpaste, my teeth are going to look like that. Well, maybe if you don't go to an orthodontist, they may not. Or the dentist. Or, you know, I mean, they just take pictures and they entice you with things, don't they? To sell stuff. To make you think a certain way. So a picture may be worth 1,000 words, but it may not be honest words or true words. If that were the case, why didn't God give us a picture book? You ever think of that? Why didn't he give us a coloring book? He gave us the word of God because words are more precise and more exact and they're accurate when they're used properly and understood properly. Okay. For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith or believing in Christ. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him. To walk means what? It means to how you conduct your life, your lifestyle, how you live. And how you live is dependent on what? Choices that you make. Right? The lifestyle that you have, the way you live, how you conduct your life depends on choices that you make every day. Now, some choices we make, and we make that choice, you know, at some point in our life for whatever reason. We're trained that way as a child, and then we grow up and the choice is made, and we just renew that choice continuously. Other choices come along as we get older that are new, and some are good and some are bad, but yet they can affect the rest of our life, can't they? So that's why we need to be careful about the choices we make and make them godly choices. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, or the right way of believing, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware Beware means what?
Watch out.
Beware. Beware is a word that is emphatic. You know, like you ever see a sign on a fence or a door that says, beware of dog? It catches your attention, right? Beware. Yeah, I put a sign on my door and say, beware of man-eating gorilla. Would that scare you? Probably not, because you think, well, that's ridiculous. But if you put beware guard dog or dog, that gets people's attention and makes them think. Beware lest any man spoil you, carry you away through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after what?
Christ.
So what should, you know, be at the center of all our decision making, all our choices?
Christ
and the Word of God. You know, Christ, who is the Word, right? That should be how we make decisions. That's how we make choices in life. And, you know, sometimes you have to be careful, because sometimes you think, wow, this doesn't mean anything. This is not a big deal. This is not a big choice. But sometimes it could be, you know. And sometimes we get into the habit pattern of making little choices that seem inconsequential, but they pave the way for other things. Because how did the devil trick Eve? Well, you know, did he really say that? He was subtle. Are you sure? Well, maybe not. You could be like gods. You know, he led her along, a little bit at a time, step by step. And that's the way he does with us many times. You know, somebody calls you and say, I'd like to meet you for lunch, and you don't really want to meet that person. You say, well, I already have another appointment. When you don't. That's a lie. But you think, well, they'll never know, and it'll never affect my life until maybe they find out some way or another. Or it leads to another lie, because you got away with it once, you figure I can get away with it again and again. And after a while, once you tell enough lies, then you got to remember the lies you told, because you got to cover for them. And then you get caught. And that could ruin a life, couldn't it? You know, drinking can ruin a life if you're not careful with it, can it? Or medicine or drugs. You know, you just make those choices and you think, well, you know, won't hurt me. But then you make that choice, and then it does, you know. The consequences of choices is amazing at times. And in the Old Testament, there was this young prophet, and God sent him to the king of Israel to confront him. And he confronts him, and there's actually, he gives a prophecy of the coming Messiah. And he leaves, and on his way back, an old prophet meets him on the road. And he says, why don't you stop in for dinner? And the young prophet said, well, no, the Lord told me that I had to go back another way from which I came, and I'm to go straight back where I came from. And the old prophet said, well, I'm a prophet of the Lord just like you, and I just want to give you dinner on the way. And so he does. He disobeyed God. And then he leaves, and a lion kills him. And then, you know, then the old prophet feels really bad. And then he goes and picks up the body and buries him, you know, and he says, you know, he disobeyed, and he realizes what happened. He disobeyed God, and that's why he died. It seems like a very innocuous choice, doesn't it? Well, just stop by for dinner. Just have a bite to eat before you go on your trip. But that's not what God told him. God said, go right home, go a different way, and don't stop for anything. Yeah, and that's the way it is. You know, and sometimes those decisions don't seem like a big deal, but they could be life-threatening sometimes, or they can change the whole course of your life. Where is we at? Okay. So it says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ, for in him, in Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. For in him dwells all the fullness of the divine nature. Bodily is how Walter Cummins translates it. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4. Chapter 4, verse 18. This is after Jesus Christ was tempted of the devil. Remember that? And what choices did he make? He chose to listen to God, not to the devil. Verse 18, and Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. Now, you know, we see this and we go, wow, that's cool, isn't it? But that was an incredible choice those guys made. You know, it was an incredible choice that Peter and his brother made to follow Jesus Christ. I know there's other records and, you know, the chronology of it, but they did choose to follow him, didn't they? And they chose, as we read in chapter 6, to stick with him. You know, all the way to, and then at the end, when he died, it shook him up until Jesus Christ came back and reassured him that everything was good. You know, that he had risen from the dead. But they had to make those choices, didn't they? They had to decide to follow him. And that wasn't an easy thing. You know, just like today, you would choose to, God would tell you to do something, and it would be out of the norm of your lifestyle, out of the norm of your routine. And God calls you to do something, but you have that choice to do it. These guys, you know, this wasn't an inconsequential choice. This was a big deal choice to leave your occupation, to leave your father and follow. You know, people just didn't do that in those days. It was amazing. And I want to close with Acts chapter 9. I don't know if those guys really understood what they were doing. You know, it doesn't tell us. They made a choice. I don't know how much they realized and how it would affect their lives. It certainly did, didn't it? It affected the history of the world that they made that choice to follow him. See, and you never know that when you're faced with a choice, and sometimes they seem like, well, this is no big deal, and yet it could change the history of the world. Chapter 9, we're going to start in verse 10. This is where Paul gets blinded on the road to Damascus, and he's in verse 10, and there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. So the Lord here is referring to Jesus Christ, and he's speaking to Ananias. Ananias is a disciple. That means he's a believer. He's not an apostle. He's not a prophet. He's not a teacher. It says in another place that he was a faithful guy, a pious guy or whatever. But he was a faithful believer. And the Lord said to him, Ananias, he said, I am here, Lord. So he chose to listen. That was the first thing he did. He chose to listen. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth and hath seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in, putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard by many of this man and how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priest to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. And I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. So now Ananias has to make a decision, right? Because God, Jesus Christ, the Lord, tells him to do one thing, but he says, you know, I don't really want to do this. This is not an easy assignment here. This is a little tougher. And Ananias went his way and entered in the house, and putting his hands on him, he said, Brother Saul, and the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes that had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and he arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat and was strengthened, then was Paul certain days with the disciples there, which were at Damascus. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. You know, Ananias made that choice. And again, that changed the world, didn't it? That changed a lot of things. It had a tremendous impact on the movement of the Word of God and how things happened. Let's go to Romans 12. Chapter 12, verse 1. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. It doesn't say and. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable or logical service. So here, God is telling us we have a choice to make. You know, this is a choice that we make, and we make this choice really every day, don't we? Whether we're going to serve God as living sacrifices or not. You know, is my life dedicated to serving God and Jesus Christ? Am I going to do things according to what God tells me, or am I going to do things according to what I want to do or what the world tells me to do? And then it says, be not conformed to this world. So that's guidance for making choices, isn't it? That's great guidance in how we make decisions and make choices in life. Be not conformed to this world. But in contrast, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You know, that's how we really are to make choices and decisions in our life. What is the will of God? You know, who has the words of life, and how do we want to live? Do we want to choose life? You know, once you're born again, you do have eternal life, but that doesn't mean you can just go on just barely existing, or you can live life. Jesus Christ said, I am come that ye might have life and have it more abundantly. He didn't say you absolutely will have life and have it more abundantly. So we get born again, we have life, but then are we going to have it more abundantly? Are we going to live that life that God has called us to, or are we just going to muddle along, making sense knowledge decisions and choices rather than godly decisions and godly choices? God exhorts us to make choices concerning Him, that He should be the standard for truth in our lives, that His word should be how we go, how we make decisions. We choose to serve Him, or we choose to serve the gods of the Amorites and of our fathers. And that's still true today for us, you know. We can choose to serve God, or we can choose to serve the other gods. We can serve Jesus Christ, or we can serve the Antichrist. One or the other. So that's what I wanted to share today. It's all about choices. Life is all about choices that we make. And, you know, we need to be careful in our choices, and we need to be cognizant of our choices, and not just think short term, what's going to feel good, but how do we serve God, and how do we become better and more dynamic in our believing God and in our life. So, Father God, we thank you for loving us, for caring for us, for watching over us, for giving us such a magnificent and incredible word. We thank you, God, for how you bless us and love us and watch over us, how each and every day we can make the choice to serve you and love you and do our best, and that when we do that, we're just going to see great things happen. We just thank you, God, for being such a loving and tender and kind God, that you allow us that freedom to make the choices and to do the things that you would have us to do by our own free will. And we just thank you for that and for the joy it is that you've laid out before us the path to go. In the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.